and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Opus Partners. I'm your host, Stephen Knight.
I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And today's show, we're talking about is bigger better? Does a home with more land go up in value faster? Now, this is such a good topic. It's one that everybody thinks they know the answer to, that a property with more land will double in value faster or effectively have more capital growth. And I remember we did a podcast, Andrew, it must have been 3 years ago now. I think it was episode 656, where we looked at whether properties with more land go up in value faster. And just remind us, what did we find back then?
So we found that based on a property having 100 square meters or more of land, there was no statistical evidence to say that it would go up faster. So if you have a house on a massive section, you would expect it to go up in value faster, or the old adage is that it goes up in value faster because there's more land. That is not the case.
And what's really interesting is that over the last 3 years, I've got better at my job. And so
it is amazing.
And so I thought you might not have noticed it if you're watching on the YouTube or listening to the podcast, but I've got a bit better at my job. And so I wanted to rerun the numbers, look back at it, because I knew there were some weaknesses in the data, right? We would have disclosed that. So I roped in my good friend Nick Goodall from CoreLogic. He's the head of research there and also the host of the New Zealand Property Market podcast. And so we ran some numbers together. We kicked around some data, talked about it, and we've got some good things to say. Now, just before we get into that, Andrew, what is that traditional mindset about? What sort of things do people say?
I think particularly older generation investors think, hey, if it's got more land, God's not making any more land. We can always put a new house on it, but the house depreciates, so therefore it's the land that you own that goes up in value. And certainly I was of that opinion as well until Ed came away and poked holes in my theories.
And people often say, buy land, they're not making any more of it. The land goes up in value. The house does it, the money's in the land. And so I think people often think, well, okay, well, I better buy a property with a bigger backyard. And I actually remember presenting at a first home buyers event up in Auckland. And even after we'd shared that data, people will come up to me and say, oh, I really disagree with that, and say, oh, well, if it's got a house, it's got 60% coverage versus 40% coverage and this and that. This is the time where you say, well, it's very easy to come up with theories or reasoning or stories about why something might happen. Let's just look at the data. And if we start by looking at Auckland City, what do we see? The first thing we notice is that larger properties are more expensive. So right now, a property with less than 300 square meters of land in Auckland City, it costs about $1.2 million. Something with a bit more land, say 300 to 600 square meters, that's about an eighth of an acre. We're talking about $1.5 million. And something with a bigger section going up to just over an eighth of an acre, we're talking about $1.7 million almost. And so properties that have more land are naturally more expensive. And just by eyeballing the data there, Andrew, does it look like properties with more land go up in value faster?
Well, yeah, because if you look at the larger sections, they are higher value properties, right? It looks like they're going up faster.
So when you look at the graph, it will appear like they're going up in value faster because from the bottom of the market to the peak of the market, properties went from like $1.45 million up to about $2.4 million over the boom period for a larger property. For a smaller property, the value increase wouldn't have been as much. It went from about $1 million to $1.4 million. But what you've got to think about is not just how much did the property go up in value by. What you want to think about is the percentage increase, because of course, if you've got two properties, one's worth $500,000 and one's worth $1 million, if they both double in value, the $500,000 property went up by $500,000. The $1 million property went up by $1 million. But when we're thinking about capital growth, we're thinking about the time to double in value. So I've looked at the long-term capital growth rates in Auckland City between properties that are smaller and properties that are larger. And certainly, over the last couple of years, smaller properties have increased at roughly the same rate as larger properties. In fact, over the last 5 years, properties with less than 300 square meters of land increased the fastest in Auckland City. So a smaller property with less than 300 square meters of land went up by 4.6% per year. Something with a little more land went up by 4.2%. And then properties with the most land in this analysis went up by 3.6% per year. So actually, 5 years ago, if you bought a property with not much land in Auckland City, you would have had a better return on investment compared to if you'd bought something with more land.
Now, does that include apartments?
Note, we've excluded apartments here. It's just looking at what's called residential dwellings. That's defined as whatever the council says, hey, that's a residential dwelling as opposed to an apartment, as opposed to a townhouse. It is important to recognise, though, that during the boom cycle, properties with slightly more land went up in value a bit faster, but then we've had a bit of a correction more recently.
Why do you think that is?
Maybe if some of these properties were developable, if maybe you could knock them over and build a couple of townhouses on them, you might have got a bit more capital growth because developers wanted to get in.
Unitary plan changes in Auckland?
Oh, where did those come in? Wasn't that 2016?
Yeah, but it was probably kicking it. Like, people were probably a bit more active in that time, like, in actually applying it.
Okay, so there could be some Auckland Central stuff there. So let's look at Christchurch and see what happens. What are you picking up from the data I've put in front of you here, Andrew?
So here, it looks like they're, again, all pretty much the same. Whether or not you've got a property with smaller land, medium land, or larger piece of land, it's all pretty much the same capital growth rate. It's almost identical.
It's within Kooi. And what's interesting is that, back in March 2021, if you look at the 5 years previously, a property with less than 300 square metres of land went up in value faster than a property with 600 to 900 square metres of land. Sometimes it's a little bit less, but we're talking about, less than 1 percentage point, and then they kind of all mix in. What's interesting for me as well is that across a lot of the cities we're looking at, properties with 300 to 600 square metres of land tend to go up actually the fastest compared to properties with 600 to 900 square metres of land. So we've got properties that are slightly smaller increasing in value faster than properties with more land. That is totally counter to a lot of the other stuff that we typically hear when thinking about property investment.
When you think about that, though, it does make sense. So properties that have a larger amount of land are more unaffordable for most of the market. So if you think about a massive house on a massive section, that's probably at the end of the bell curve that there's only a small fraction of the market that actually can afford to buy that. So you could understand that it might not go up quite as much as others.
Well, people often say, the values of the land. And if you think about that, and if we define value as what people get out of it, I don't actually think that's totally wrong, because if you think about when you go and look at a property yourself for an open home, like, you arrive at the open home, where's the first place you go?
You go inside.
You go inside the
house.
You go
inside and have a look around.
And then what are you looking at? Where's the first, the main places you want to go?
You probably go to the kitchen, the lounge, and the bedroom.
Yeah, kitchen, lounge, bedrooms, bathrooms.
Yeah, you don't go in the backyard and go, oh, what a large piece of land this is.
Because for a lot of people, like, if you think about homeowners, a big backyard can definitely be a benefit. You've got space for your kids to run around in. But that's going to be an additional benefit rather than the main thing you're looking at. You're looking for the right number of bedrooms. You're looking for the right number of bathrooms. You're looking at a house to the right standard. People value the house more than they value the land.
Absolutely.
Even if you think about investors in terms of wanting to get some rental income, tenants are less willing to pay for the big backyard. What they really care about is the right number of bedrooms and a property that is to the standard that they like. And so there can be value in the land if we're specifically thinking about the development potential. But if we look at the stats, that story doesn't really play out. It's not like properties with substantially more land get much, much more capital growth. And I'll show you another interesting stat, Andrew. Here we're specifically looking at properties that are 1,200 square metres plus and properties that are very, very small. And so if we're thinking about 1,200 square metres plus in Auckland, these are properties that are well over a quarter of an acre. And what do we see between the smaller properties and the larger properties?
So the smaller property growth is much more consistent than the larger property growth. The larger property did have a boom there for a period of time, but then it's dropped back substantially.
And what do you think that would be? Because the funny thing is, the 5 years to March 2022, those larger properties went up by like 20% a year. Huge.
I guarantee you that was when developers were buying land. They were looking for big sites. They were paying premium prices to be able to get this land to carve it up and then develop it. Now that they've dropped off the cliff, now it's back to normal growth rate, and it is lower than what the smaller properties are getting in terms of growth.
And if we look at properties with 300 square metres of land versus other types, and so, if we look at, on average, a 300 square metre piece of land or less beat properties with more land pretty consistently. If we look at Rodney, which is like rural Auckland, properties with 300 to 600 square metres worth of land actually performed the best, properties with less land than that performed the worst. But actually, the bigger the property, the less capital growth you got once you had like 400 square metres of land. So it is not true in evidence that we see properties with substantially more land, and the bigger the plot of land, the more capital growth. Sometimes properties with just an average amount of land, like in some cases an eighth of an acre, a 16th of an acre, actually can perform much better than properties with much more land.
And I think this is really important to consider when you're thinking about buying a property as an investment. As an owner-occupied, again, if you've got the owner-occupied mentality, you might want a bigger backyard. You're not thinking about what your return on investment is. You're thinking about the enjoyment of your investment. But if you're thinking of it as an investor, then you need to be thinking, well, is there any significant difference? No, the data doesn't suggest that. So therefore, why would I put extra money into paying for a bigger backyard, which will then limit my ability to diversify my portfolio and have multiple properties in different regions?
Yeah, I think the main thing is buy the house that suits you. So if you're an owner-occupier, buy the house that you want to live in. If you're an investor, buy the house that suits whatever other criteria you have. I think the main takeaway from this is land size probably shouldn't be at the top of your list because it doesn't have a substantial impact on capital growth. Now, if you're a developer, you don't care about that because you need to buy properties that have a suited land size so you can chop it up. If you're going to subdivide, if you're a more active investor and you need land to fulfill your strategy, then you've got to buy those bigger plots of land. But I'm saying as a long-term investor, this shouldn't be at the top of your list. Buy the house that you want rather than thinking, oh, well, should I spend extra money to get a bigger piece of land because maybe I'll get more capital growth? No, there's no data to suggest that that would actually be the case. Right, let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, if you are listening to the audio version of this on your podcast app and you want to see some of the graphs we're sharing, just Google Opus Partners YouTube. It'll be the first thing that comes up. And if you are on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe button. We release new videos every Monday and Wednesday. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Steve McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
We're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of your property market. Until next time.